everyone. Welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. I'm Ben Mandelker. Joining me today, who topless in the pool, it's Mr. Ronnie Karam. How are you, Ronnie?
Get out of the pool.
Hello. What's up?
How's it going? Can't believe you're topless in a pool, Amanda.
I'm doing great, thanks. We are closing in on the crappies
today. Look, I'm dressed in a nude colored top so that Kyle would think I'm nude in a pool.
I'm dressed gray, but is that my nude? I'm just like a gray skinned person.
That's your nude.
It's all gray.
That's
crappies are coming up real soon. We're coming into the final stretch of preparations for that. Go to watchcrappins.com to get your tickets for either in person or virtually. Also, don't forget to vote. The ballot, the round one voting is going to be up until Friday. And at the end of Friday, we close it down. And then we have a new ballot, the final official ballot. That'll be on Monday. So the links for that are on watchwhatcrappens.com or on our social media on Instagram at watchwhatcrappens. Also, we have a thriving and beautiful Patreon community that we love. On Patreon, you can find our bonus episodes and specifically Traitors recaps, most important of all, the most important television show in the history of 2026. So that's on Patreon, patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. But also, we have a newsletter, a weekly newsletter that goes out. And we also have an ad-free podcast feed there, and a video. So it's really a whole circus of activity on Patreon that you should go check out. So those are the big things. Was there anything else, Ronnie, that's worth mentioning at the top of this episode before we dive into Summer House? I can't remember.
No.
I don't think so. Wait, one more thing.
Oh, yes.
Ha, ha, ha. That is an official statement for me about Jules Aaron. Okay, continue on.
Jules Aaron. Jules Aaron getting fired from the Real Housewives of New York reboot on E! Came out and said, but I'm human. Yeah, you're a fucking trashy racist. And that's why you got fired. You're a trashy racist human. Bye.
Two things can be true.
Goodbye.
It is true. You are a human. You are a human. You're trash. God, my favorite. My favorite get out of jail card.
What? I'm human.
Yeah. You're human garbage. I thought it was so funny that we had just been going off on her on Crappy Hour before all of this happened last time. And Ben was playing a video from 14 years ago, 13 years ago, something, when we interviewed Jill. She was one of our first interviews and she was a nightmare. I did not like her. And the way we were recording was on, what was it? What's that?
It was
Skype.
Screen recording.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And for some reason, I had to screen record myself to like, they didn't have the call recorder yet or something. So I had to like screen record it with my computer. I mean, it was back in the old days. Okay. That's how we had to do things. And so you just see my face pissed off this entire interview. Pissed off and or completely bored. And we were cracking up about that last week on Crappy Hour. And then all this Jill's Aaron stuff happened. It's nuts how that works out in the world, isn't it?
Yeah, it is really nuts.
We manifested this.
Yeah, congratulations, Jill. You spent 15 years trying to get back on an ensemble show and you're already fired from it before it even started. So that's really one of the great flameouts we've ever experienced. I mean, it's not that great because it comes at the expense of, you know, people having to deal with another stupid face saying racist, problematic shit. And that does take a toll on people. But in terms of like, you know, Bravo ironies, it's a pretty strong one, pretty good one there. Anyway, we're not talking about Jules Aaron, but we are going to the Hamptons because it's Summer House today. And where we left off, Amanda had just gotten into the pool in her brassiere. And Kyle had a freak out moment because Amanda was almost skinny dipping. By the way, notably not skinny dipping. Not only was she not skinny dipping, when she got in the pool, her bra got darker, so it looked even less like skinny dipping. Because like, man,
it was actually a new kink for Carl because it was like a reverse farmer's tan, and he really loves a tan line.
He really does, and I forgot that his tan line kink. Oh, there's so many nuances on this show.
Oh yeah,
but Kyle gets jealous, even though, by the way, Amanda is, you know, an aspiring bikini designer. So God forbid she gets into a pool and shows off her boobs. God forbid.
Well, I felt very gaslit by this whole thing because she kept saying, like, I'm not naked, though. And he kept saying, but you're topless, Amanda. And then everybody else was like, oh, my gosh, Amanda went topless in the pool. Who cares? We're always topless. And then later in his thing, he's like, well, we're always topless. But I guess that it's hypocritical because, I mean, we are always naked in the pool. She wasn't even naked. Why are they gaslighting us into thinking that she was? She wasn't. Stop.
Right. I think that what he ultimately tries to say is that, like, she was ignoring him all weekend, and yet she was giving some sort of, like, flirtatious energy to someone else or slash vaguely sexual energy to the hot tub when he couldn't even get, like, the smallest amount, to which I say, you DJ everywhere. So,
yeah, the hot tub is there. The people in the pool are there for her more than you are. And yeah. They're not married to her.
Yeah.
She could have fucked the whole pool and I still would be on her side.
Yep. Agree. And so Amanda tells us, we've been skinny dipping as a house for 10 years, which is a hilarious opening line to this show. As a house, we've been skinny dipping together. Okay.
That's just what we've been doing for 10 years. This is a house that skinny dips. Okay. It's like on the back of her minivan. In this house.
Also, I was just skinny dipping with Ben last summer in Italy, and you didn't have a problem with that. And so he wants me to be more fun, but then he doesn't like when I'm having fun.
And they're like, well, the producer's like, why? And she's like, because it's not directly with him. I don't know. I can't win.
Yeah. And that is his problem. Like, that is his problem, yeah. Is that she's having fun with everybody else. So she's showing that she still can have fun. And he's like, but why does she hate me then? You know? And I don't, right. You know, I can't explain to Kyle a million times in an episode, every episode, why. He's just so wrong. And this entire episode is just more proof of Kyle, why Kyle is in this predicament, refusing to take any kind of responsibility.
But, like, what would lover boy, you know, like, what would kids do if they don't have lover boy? You know, they starve to death. And I have to keep lover boy open. I have to go DJ. Or lover boy is not going to stay open.
And he does that real wide-eyed thing that Kyle does when he's obviously lying. He does Homer Simpson eyes.
Right.
He's just obviously full of shit. Nobody will call him out.
Well, I'm going to give him a shred of something that I'm not justifying anything he did with the swimming pool because it was ridiculous and hypocritical. I can imagine a frustration if every time, like, you're with the person you love and you want to do something fun and they're like, I just want to, like, stay in or something like that. Or I'm like, oh my God, I don't want to do anything. Or, like, you're just, it's like Amanda as we've always seen her. But then, like, with other people, she's willing to, like, go have fun and do, like, fun, crazy things. But with you, the person that she's literally closest to, she doesn't ever seem to want to do fun things. So I can understand that being frustrating, but it doesn't in any way justify having a jealous fit and pulling her out of a pool. And also accusing her of being topless when she wasn't even topless in the first place. And also, again, it doesn't make, like that infraction, I feel like, pales to going out on the road 4 or 5 days a week and partying late at night as a DJ.
Yeah. So he's like, I'm all for nudity. And then we see clips of him jumping into the pool naked multiple times. And he's like, yeah, it used to be a tradition during the summer, you know, jump in the pool naked. So I know how much to stand on there, but... I mean, I don't know. It's just like I've been ignored and I don't know. Like, I just, it felt weird. There, that's my reasoning.
He couldn't even articulate what he was trying to say. And that's what made it even worse. He knows he's wrong.
Yeah. And his feelings are hurt because his wife hates him and he doesn't know how to fix it. And he's not willing to do the things that it's going to take to fix it. So, And then we go to Jesse and West. And Jesse's like, I've never seen Kyle get jealous. I mean, he's just like, you're going to just go in the pool in your underwear? I mean, what the hell? And West is like, well, her tits were out. But I mean, yeah, hopefully, you know, hopefully, like, he was respectful. Her tits were not out.
They were not out.
They weren't.
And they weren't out any more than his
like,
butt
this is puritanical. Well, when are we going to stop this? Like, we are fed from those things. Why do men get to, why does no one care that West is flopping his tits all over the place, you know? Why is it, like, so crazy for a woman to show her boobs? Like, oh, my God, boobs. Like, what? Stop dissing baby breakfast.
How many parties do we have to see Kyle's bare ass out while he pees on the grass 10 feet away from the pool? But then, like, oh, God, Amanda is, like, wearing a bra into a pool, God forbid, right?
Yeah, so everybody acts like guys all look like they do on Summer House. But, you know, anybody who goes to like a regular pool sees male, floppy male boobs all over the place and they're hairy, you know. So why is that OK? I say, women, bring out your boobs. Bring them.
Yeah, 100%. So then there's just some stuff happening around the house. They're going to get ready to go out because the party's over. So they're going to go out to a club tonight. And Amanda tells Ciara that she was like, you were so much fun today. And then Bailey asks KJ to steam her dress. And they're just doing all sorts of things. And Wes is in KJ's room. And Wes is like, hey, vibes, checking in. How are we feeling? He's like, oh, way, way better. Like, it's just like every time we check in, I just feel like a lot better. And we see a flashback to remind us that he has anxiety, guys. So he's
a skateboarder that appreciates emotional check-ins. And, yeah, you know, good for him. And then we see Kyle and Amanda. They're getting ready. And Kyle's like, hey, what do you think of my outfit? And she just ignores him. He's like, Amanda. How many compliments do you need on your shorts and linen shirt? You wear it every day.
I know.
So then West is telling KJ, you know, yeah, I'm gonna have my eyes on you. It's going to be my new hobby, taking care of my new bro.
Yeah. Because West is, then he says, he talks about how last year he was a tiptoe king or tiptoe god. And this year, though, he's gonna like really go out. He's gonna be in the mix again. He basically got the notes from America because West is very America approval oriented. And he got the notes that we all thought he was lame last year and he just moped around the house. And so this year he's like, okay, going back to original West version. So yeah. Tiptoe God is out.
I'm back to being just the human form of Coors Light. Just Coors Light with two legs. So now everybody leaves and Kyle is wearing a second place ribbon. And I think that's fitting, but it's also an extreme show of confidence.
Yes.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
By the way, something that else that was going around that went like lightly viral.
Chlamydia, am I right?
Am I right?
The worst.
PSA, guys. The more you know.
Can't even take it raw anymore.
For some reason, I don't know why someone decided to highlight this, but then it got circulated around, is the fact that Kyle Cook is 2 years older than J.D. Vance. And so there were a lot of these side-by-side photos.
Didn't I tell you that last week? Isn't that, I think I was telling you this last
week. I'm like, guys, this thing's been going around. You're like, Ben, I just, but it's been, maybe you saw it too.
That happens all the time, by the way, where I tell you like wifely gossip, you know, we're just like catching up with each other's day. And then I tell you wifely gossip and you're like, uh-huh, sure. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. And then like a week later, you're like, guess what I heard?
Well, I feel so alone in this
relationship.
I did see it on Twitter quite a bit.
Now it's from Twitter.
Well, yeah, well, the point is that that people were sending it around, and it is when you see the side by side, it is funny. Like the vice president of the country, and then Kyle Cook, and Kyle has aged much better. But to be fair, he's probably in the top percentile of 43-year-olds. I would have to say he's really doing a great job with whatever he's doing. With his little,
you know, it's
hair.
A lot, you know, because Kyle works out a lot. I'm sure he drinks a lot of water. I mean, alcoholic drinks are made with water. Maybe it's something in the monk fruit they put in the Lover Boy. I don't know. But, you know, he takes care of himself. And, you know, like if Kyle is banging anybody, it's like a bunch of young chicks at shows and JD is banging couches. So maybe it just goes to show, you know, it's healthier to bang people than it is to bang couches. But yeah, it is pretty crazy.
When you drink that much booze, usually it starts to show up. Like, I think it visually starts to catch up with you. Like, you know, the boozing, the partying, it's around. It's on. It shows up on your face at a certain point. And Kyle's doing a great job of, I don't know what he's doing. I don't know how he drinks so hard.
He drinks so much that he's pickled, you know?
He's fermented.
He's like a frozen head. You know, he's like a Walt Disney head. He's just had so much to drink that he's frozen in time. And really, all of them are from this cast. The only one who looks totally different is Carl.
Carl.
The healthiest one.
There's I know that's the irony. There's a scene later on that we'll get to when Kyle's at Carl's house, and Carl literally is like, he's like a, like an old therapist. And I'm like, wow, how did these two are aging at such different rates? I mean, Carl is actually, I would argue Carl looks like how, like a, what a 43-year-old should look like, I guess. But like, it's just, you know, it's just wild. The, you know, life, huh? Skin, huh?
Life, huh? Yeah, I was talking to a friend the other day because I had read an article about a fruitarian passing away. You know, those are people who only eat fruit. And I tried to do that for like a week in my life. It was horrible.
This is what they call gay people. Fruitarian.
It's people who only eat gay people.
And I,
yeah, and I did that for a while, so that's why I brought it up. And I was like, yeah, you were right. Fruitarians die, and you know, you think that they would be the healthiest people in the world. And I was saying it as I was eating an Oreo, because I got chocolate covered Oreos the other day when we were doing our Amazon Live. And you know what? I stand by my decision.
Mm.
I beat you, fruitarian. I beat you.
Fruitarian.
I'm still here. Yeah.
You know, I think the other thing with Carl is that he does a lot of outdoor jogging. I think that also does a number on
jogging. You know, does do a number. I think you're supposed to speed walk instead of jog, because jogging, just like, especially if you're someone with any kind of facial weight, you know, it's just like your weight is just like ba-doom, 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 and it just pulls your face, you know, it's like yanking your face down.
Oh, well, I was just gonna say, because he's out in the sun a lot, but sure.
Oh, that
maybe physics to it as well. There might be, who knows? Probably not. Yeah, but maybe.
I don't know.
Either way, Kyle's aging.
Stay on your couch and eat Oreos. There you go, people.
Kyle, it's funny because Kyle is aging. Physically, he's aging wonderfully. Maturity-wise, he's aging terribly. He's doing it all wrong.
Well, yeah, he's going backwards that way too. So maybe that's something to do with it. If you never grow up, you know, if you never age mentally, maybe you cannot age physically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe. Peter Pan. Look at Sandy Duncan. He still looks great.
Look at Sandy Duncan. That's what I always say. When in doubt, look at Sandy Duncan. Am I right, everyone? I was like, Jill Zarin, could you please follow Sandy Duncan's lead? Sandy Duncan's like, I love you, Bad Bunny. She goes flying through the... You guys all saw Sandy Duncan go flying across the halftime show, right?
I love when Sandy Duncan came out and sang that Bruno Mars duet, Alone. So good. Ricky Martin was in the cornfield like, I love you, Sandra. I love you, Sandra Duncan.
God bless her. Sweet thins.
Yeah. Okay, so West is doing vibe checks. Okay, so now they're all going out, and Ben, who's the new hottie, is talking to the girls. And West is like, wow, look at Ben. He's at the girls' table, pussy. Kyle's like, that must be what it's like having an accent. He's got an unfair advantage, you know? That's why I carry around a DJ table. It's like an accent for a short guy.
Yeah. And Ben is there. He's all sunburned and he's smiling. And his like his little hair helmet is like bigger than he's definitely doing. He's like in like an Art Garfunkel state right now. So that the girls are all just smiling at him. And Bailey's like,
I think he looks Roman.
He does 100%.
Reading a book about Rome, and he looks like one of the patriarch families, you know, that just get everything handed to them because they're famous. You did? Well, that's where I got it. I totally remember. You see? I'm a good husband.
Although I may have said he looks Greek. I said he looks like a Greek statue, I believe. But either way, he does have that kind of like, he looks like he should be on a coin that you dug up, right?
That you could stick your penis into, maybe. Oh my goodness.
Good coin you could have sex with. Talk about a coin slot. So he's over there and Bailey's like, so you did Bachelor, right? Did someone win? Did you get engaged? He's like, no. She's like, really? But you're so beautiful. I don't understand. And he's like, well, when someone's flirting, I go red easily. It's like, oh my God, it could be the way I was raised. I was raised in a religious family. So like no sex before marriage. My dad, Julius Caesar, was always so angry at that kind of stuff. And anything sexual is like not something you talk about. The kind of attention is kind of like uncomfortable, which is crazy because like I've been modeling for quite some time, but there's a bit more than meets the eye. Which, by the way, my favorite thing is when a model says that.
Oh my God, me too. I love that they're just not happy being who they are, because you think it's going to be so easy for a model and that they'd just be happy. Like, I'm hot, I'm blonde, I'm 6'5", I have nothing to worry about. But they're insecure too, you know, and they're insecure with looking stupid. I can't wait until we see him like sitting by the pool with like a big book.
Yeah, I was just saying, I think it's funny because models always do that. They always say there's more than meets the eye, because that's their biggest insecurity, is that people know that there's not more than meets the eye. But they're like, no, I read something on Huffington Post the other day. So I'm Huffington intellectually Post. Curious.
I don't only read The New Yorker for the drawings, all right? I love a really long short story in tiny print. That's just the way
I love reading commentary by Naomi Fry. That's right. There's more than meets the eye. I can even rhyme.
I don't eat French fries unless it's with my mind. Naomi Fry, coming soon.
God, I love that Naomi Fry.
I do too. It's a good name.
She's great. She's great.
Yeah. So then we go back over to the guys, and Jesse's like, so did you get a little spicy with Amanda, Kyle? Like when she was in the pool? What was going on with that, buddy? And Kyle's like, ugly. Jesse's like, because I've never seen you like get jealous or any type of way with her. So that was crazy.
Dude, there are like so many things that Amanda and I need to talk about. Like, I shouldn't say this, but like, she's acted like the last 2 years, she smokes weed every night. Every night she smokes weed. I was like, well, maybe it's longer than that, but you just never realize, because every night you get drunk.
Yeah, which you're not worse. Allowed to say that when you're shit-faced constantly, yeah. Kyle. And we've also, seen you maybe 10 lesson. Minutes of this show not slurring.
And also every season on the second episode, Kyle drops some bomb that he shouldn't be dropping. I shouldn't be saying this, but Carl, he came to the office coked up. I shouldn't be saying this, Amanda. She's high as a fucking kite every single night. I shouldn't be saying this. Lindsay went and killed someone in Vegas. Shouldn't be saying it, bro. It's like, why do you keep dropping these truth bombs? Like, and everyone gets mad at you when you do it. And then you have to like do a whole apology tour every single season.
Because it's substance abuse deflection, and it happens, you know, when you're guilty of using, when you feel guilty or like you're being attacked because you use a lot of substances, which is what she's going after. It's like, he's gone every night drunk with all, you know, he came up with a job where he can drink every night, which is true. And so he's deflecting to be like, well, she's a drug addict. She stays home all the time just doing drugs. That's Amanda. But we do see pictures of their house, and it does look gross. And we know that there's dogs all over the place, that, you know, or like they're babies. And I'm a dog person, but, you know, if somebody comes over, I have to vacuum for an hour. Just like I did yesterday when you came over, there was a vacuum running because it gets nasty. And their house did look really gross. And then we see an overfilled ashtray and stuff like that. But guess what? It would be cleaner if you were there to help clean it up.
She's also probably fucking depressed. She already has described that she has, you know, certain mental health struggles. And she's probably depressed because she's in this relationship that she thought she was going to be able to change, which, by the way, That's where her big problem areas are. And she says that again this episode, the areas that I wanted Kyle to change, and Amanda's big problem for the past 10 years is that she's always held out hope that she could change Kyle. And it seems like she's given up and she's starting to see the light. But she's stuck.
You want
she's
change?
Stuck.
Then don't marry a penny.
That's right. Marry a Sesteri from ancient Rome with Ben's face on it.
Yeah, he's deflecting, I think, here. He's basically trying to frame this as Amanda's a drug addict, and I guess we're supposed to take from this, and that's why I'm never in the house. And he says, well, my apartment's like a frat house, and it looks like a frat house because she's chaotically living. Bro, you're drinking all the time. You are a frat. You're a walking frat house. What are you talking about? He's like, I can't even hire a cleaning company because there's too much shit. It's like a series of hoarders. It's like a hoarder series.
Yeah, but I mean, have you also like seen the summer house? Have you been in the summer house that you live in the summer? It's like you walk in and there's boxes piled up before you even walked into the door. So but it does look, it's giving light squalor. We've seen much worse on these shows when we see the footage. But again, I just have to imagine that Amanda is probably, she's probably miserable. She's miserable. God, you guys both need to just be rid of each other. And the good news is that you will be very soon.
Yeah. So West is like, well, have you like brought it up to her? Like, let me make a suggestion. Call the New York Times, do an article. She'll get the point. Kyle's like, yeah, I actually begged for her mom to come into the city and help. She hates me. So then we go back to the girls talking to Ben, and Bailey's like, I want to go eavesdrop on the boys. And so then we go back to the guys, and Wes like, wait, you want to bring the mom over to clean? And like, and then what's the fucking feedback then? And she goes, a year ago, she did. The mom came and Amanda piled a bunch of shit into the back bedroom, and that was it. You can't even count on someone's mom to clean your apartment anymore.
Yeah. Kyle says he can't even hire a cleaning service, which I probably could. So Amanda sort of sneaks up behind Kyle, sort of cutesy. And so everyone's like, oh, heads up, Kyle, heads up, bro. And she's like, I'm not here. Ha ha ha. He's like, well, now I feel bad. And KJ goes, we're here for you, bro. And Amanda's like, here for him? What do you mean? Why are you shaking your head? What's going on, Kyle?
Because everybody's like, just staring at Kyle like, uh-oh, you know, they've been caught. And Kyle won't turn around to look at her. And he's like, I don't know. It's like, Kyle. This was also a misfire by Kyle because, as we've seen in the past, this is when he loves Amanda, is when it's when they go out to drink. Amanda gets a little wasted. Then she dances with him. And then he likes her again. And they have a really good time because she's partying, which is all he wants her to do. And so to be starting this shit on a night where he could have the version of Amanda that he likes the best. Bad move, Kyle.
Yeah. So West is like, oh my God, KJ, can't believe you just said that. Oh my God, maybe you should be a tiptoe god a little bit. So Amanda's like, okay, can someone say it? Because I'd rather find out now than on camera. And it's like, well, cat got your tongue. Amanda, we got dogs, not cats. It's an expression, Kyle. Well, I just feel like you're very disinterested in me and like us, and you haven't asked a question in years, which I'm like, okay, like that's
you haven't asked a question
in years.
Yes, she has. Where are you? Do you know what time it is?
Do you know
Do you
about
live
my
here
needs?
Anymore?
Well, would you mind supporting my desire to start my own little business? Without starting your own instead?
Yeah, and Kyle, all of this would be valid if it were a normal, non-drunk discussion at dinner or something, you know? Like, hey, Amanda, mm-hmm. I feel like you're smoking weed every day. Our house is a mess. It makes me not even want to be there. You know, I feel like you hate me. You like everybody in the world but me. And I found out today that we do actually have cats. They just live under the dogs. And it's really disturbing. So...
they live like little dogs.
In our hoarder house. Those would be valid if you weren't shit-faced after being absent for 6 weeks. So he's like, yeah, you know, like, you don't give me anything. And she's like, that's not true, Kyle. You want to talk about companionship and communication? There's nothing uncomfortable, more uncomfortable for me than everyone knowing about how you feel except for me. And it makes it awkward, Kyle. And I don't know what else to do. I'm playing the smoke signals, bringing post smokes, and they say, help, help.
Kyle's not the best wording you should use when your major complaint is that Amanda's smoking too much.
Yeah, well, she's literally putting up smoke signals for help. I know. You can't do it figuratively in the same conversation.
So she goes, well, we can talk about this later. He's like, I fucking told you. So he walks away and Sierra's basically like hugging her and being like, no, it's okay. Just keep it cute. People are filming. Okay. There's a lot of looky-loos here in Julon. And Amanda's like, I know, like, that's why I feel like I'm like, can we stop? Because it just feels like unfair, especially because like I've put up with so much for so long. Then all of a sudden he's acting like I'm ruining his life. Kyle. And then they party for the rest of the night. And we see like the quick montage of partying and then cars coming home. And then the first car gets in and it's Sierra and Amanda walking in and they just like hug in the foyer. And then the next car comes in and Bailey tells Kyle, hey, you should go be with your wife right now.
Like, yeah, whatever. I'm wearing my Ray-Bans at night.
She just walked off. Yeah, Carl.
Hey, America. I would take my shirt off for Kyle, huh, but my tan lines aren't ready. It's kind of hot. But I would go out of my way to try and help him. But like he's going through, so what he's going through is something harder than I think any of us, I think, even fully realize. I mean, these complaints, the things he's saying, I mean, I felt like I've heard this stuff for at least the past 3 or 4, 10 years at least. But this time it feels a little different because I feel like he's crumbling. He's crumbling. And I don't know how to help him. Got an idea. Wait, Kyle, you want a bagel? I'm going to do a bagel order tomorrow morning. That'll fix it. Yeah.
Tomorrow is getting bread with a hole in it.
Okay. Maybe Kyle needs to be back in the mix like I am in the mix.
So it's time to go to bed. West is playing with the DJ thingy. And the next morning,
it's July 5th at 9:08 a.m.
And Carl sends out a text.
This is going to be a big one. It's going to be a big one. Everybody wait for it. Hold on. That's what I word this. Hold on. Good morning, people. No. Good morning, housemates. More caps. Bagels. No, that's not going to work. Shall I get some carbs with? No, that's not going to work. Bagels for everybody. Nailed. I'm sending it.
Lindsay just texts.
Carl, just say good morning, housemates. Who wants bagels?
Oh, don't need your input, Lindsay. Okay, I'm going to write this. Good morning, housemates. Who wants bagels? Oh, nailed it.
And so the new girls are so excited. Leva's like, oh, my God, I can't believe Carl's getting us bagels. Yeah, nicest man that ever walked the planet Earth, Carl.
He seems like a bit like a lover boy in like the least lover boy way, like a true, I don't know, baby. He's like a little baby who's like a 6'5" baby who could break a muscle machine. Yeah. Oh, my God, that was amazing when he just sort of came up and was like watching beef jerky attacking a carnival game was so hot.
Yeah, that was one of the hottest moments I've ever seen from a guy. That and then Ben, when he told me he noticed my blue eyes, he's like, whoa, I noticed your blue eyes when I got here. And I was like, gasp. I was like, oh, my God. I was like, don't look at me like that. Why are you staring at my eyes like that?
Because they're so wide open right in his face. How can you not?
He's like, oh, my God. Yeah. I love him.
That was 5,000 times.
It's a man.
I woke up. Ben is 5,000 times hotter than any man I've met or ever had interest in. And I always like a guy with tattoos that are like kind of losers and will break up with you at a sweet green. And I have a real penchant for losers. But you know what? My ex didn't have tattoos, but he was a loser and he didn't have a job. And he didn't have a sweet green salad either because he dumped me before he could get the salad I got for him. Fucker.
You know, of course, the guy without a job breaks up with you at an expensive salad place. What an asshole. You know, break up with me somewhere where that you can afford. You know, break up with me at a fucking Wendy's, the dollar menu or something. Take me to a salad that I'm going to have to pay for.
Thank you. That's right. So Levi, what are, how do you, is she Levi? Levi? I don't know.
Levi.
Like Levi. Oh, she's like, well, the like problem the with this
or
man
the
is,
Bible.
She says the problem with this man is he's so nice to everyone and makes fabulous eye contact with every single person.
Yeah, and it takes you away from and you're floating and you can't even remember a world in which you would order someone a sweet green salad and they wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, but he's not flirting with you. I don't think.
No, I don't think so either. I'm just, hold on 1 second. I'm just going to go into the bathroom, cry for a second as that realization dawns on me.
Levi's trying to tell her nicely. He's a really hot model who charms everybody. And Bailey, you know, who wants to hear that? By the way, Levi has a big bruise on her face, which we later find out is from a goat. When she was lying there with the corn outfit and the goats were eating off of her body, one stomped on her face, which is why you don't lay down with goats.
Yeah.
That's why that's the saying.
Like,
lie down with goats, fracture. Get a hoof bruise on your face. It's an old saying for a reason, y'all.
100%. 100%. Speaking of someone lying down with goats, Amanda is getting out of bed and Kyle's like, hey, where are you? She's like, out. So she leaves. And Sierra walks into Jesse's room and gets into bed with him. And he's like, oh my God, thank God it's you. Wow, I'm real bed bug now. She's like, how's it going? Oh, better now. What time did you get home? Late. Yeah. And then Amanda comes in. She's like, oh my God, can I used to find my friends to find you guys in here. Guys, let's like recreate a new bed bug situation here.
And Kyle's like, wait, everybody, I gotta go look for people.
So he starts to hunt around for them and he walks into the room and sees the three of them in bed.
And Sarah goes, oh, God. He goes, oh, God. And then he just walks out of there.
Like, you don't like me anymore. It's crazy. Everyone's hanging out with a hoarder.
No, so they're
Master's just like, even hoarding people.
So he's jealous. And they're in there just like gossiping in bed and everything. And Kyle's muttering around to himself. And Jesse's like, do you think he's pissed that you guys are in my bed and not his? And Sarah's like, I mean, I don't even know what to say anymore. Wait, I've got an idea. Ugh, fuck him. Oh, that was good. Good choice of words by me.
I don't know what to say either.
You know, this feels really good for me. You know, the party got really fun. We were all jumping in the pool and pieing each other. You know, give it up for West, right? Nice party, West. And Sierra's like, yeah, I appreciate the animals because I'm always going to appreciate the animals. The animals were for me. So we see a clip of the animals. And she says,
because she's in a house with animals.
Animal house. She's like, yeah, he knew what he was doing. This is way better first weekend than last year. That's for sure. And I have a Bob this year. It's way cuter. She's so gorgeous. Well, Sierra, I can't even.
I know her. Actually, her braids are so sexy. They're so, so sexy.
Every look she has is so good. And she's going to all these, you know, she's famous enough to be going to like all these Grammy parties and stuff. Yes. So,
oh my God.
I see her all over the internets dressed to the nines. And I'm like, wow, that is a Barbie doll of a woman.
Yeah. I mean, she's always been drop dead. But like lately, she's just sort of like in, she's like on a different tier lately. I mean, her look at the Grammys was like insane. And then she did all this stuff. I think she partnered with like Abercrombie or something like that. And I don't know. She just is like
queen, rich. Mother,
queen,
icon.
Goddess.
Give her the proper gay respect. Queen, mother, icon.
Hey, everyone. I know we're trying to keep it low carb. So I got some buns with the holes. That's right. Bagels are here. Everyone, bagels are here.
I'm sorry. No, this is how he enters. Hello.
That's right. Fun Carl season 10, Carl 13.0 is fun. He walks into a room and goes, hello. Bagels are
oh
here.
My God. That was the most beautiful text I've ever gotten in my life. And no man has ever texted me offering me bagels.
He's like, yeah. Oh, by the way, Amanda, I saw Kyle running down the street. Oh, yeah, I was running. I was waving his arms, screaming, looking behind him, farting really loudly. She's like, running. He's like, yeah, I honked. And he was in the zone. The auto zone. He was running in an auto zone. It was really embarrassing. We should really do something about it, Kyle.
I know he's been saying he's been low on his battery, but you know, he does know that you literally can't get a battery to improve your life, right?
They talk about how fun the party was, and Levi is saying she needs a more fun story for the bruise on her cheek than getting stomped by a goat.
I'm like, does it get more fun than that? I mean, I think that is what's the other version? You could do like a Jordan type story. Well, I was having sexual relations with a girl on a train, and we were having sex on a top bunk, and then while she was giving me oral sexual pleasure, I fell off the bed and broke my eye bone on a chair where a dildo was placed, and another girl was naked, and her knee hit me all at the same time.
I was going down on Reba McEntire when a goat came up behind me and took my asshole for the very first time.
Missed that guy. Jordan, for those of you who weren't back here in those days, in the summer house days with Jordan, the extreme liar, about sexual stories, he actually dated Erica Kirk on the show. Yes. Wasn't it him who went out on a date with Erica Kirk?
Yes, Carl's like, hey, I know this pretty cool girl. She's really into religion. You should meet her.
And so Jordan and Erica Kirk go on a date on Summer House because everything comes back to Bravo in some weird, hilarious way.
It really does. So then Ben comes in and he's looking fine because he's been swimming. And so Bailey's like, well, we were totally forbidden at the party, but, you know, they were all. And he goes, well, what were you looking for, Bailey? And then that's right when Ben walks in. She's like,
Aquaman. Oh my God. Ben, pick up a bagel. Hand it to me. Oh my God. Just marry me. Just marry me already.
Oh, that was really hot. Oh, I wish you guys had tan lines. Oh.
So,
all I really ever wanted is a man who will bring me a bagel.
Oh, I just did that.
But hand it to me by that guy.
Oh, all right. Well,
Hey, Carl, can you give that bagel to Ben? Okay, Ben, can you give that to me? Oh, yeah.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So now we're in the city. Everybody goes home. We're in the city now. And we see KJ skateboarding. And I was embarrassed for him because they didn't. I mean, the man invented a trick, you guys. You can show the man doing his trick. But he did like a slide on a wall and it didn't work out. And he's like, well, damn it.
I know. That is so funny that they didn't show him doing a more illustrious move. And instead, they just show him falling over. Yeah. And then Ben is watering a plant. He's like, hello, my little Sheila plant. Here's some water for you. I love you. I really do love you. I actually love you. You're just like the light of my life. Like, I don't trust this guy anymore.
I don't trust him either, because I feel like the plant is the only thing on this show that he's ever going to be able to say that thing to and mean it.
I know. His apartment was very, very clean. You could already tell it was very tidy and clean.
Like, so hot. Oh, my gosh. And have we already seen him changing into his bathing suit? There was one point where we saw him change and we got to see his butt. Oh, my God. Duh.
Yeah, it was at some point, and that little booty was poking out to say hi. I mean, it was fully out. The booty was saying hello. The booty was saying hello. So now we have Lindsay, her first scene of this proper scene of the season. So she meets with Sierra for lunch at Skylark. And
Skylark, have you anything to say to me? How many sandwiches are you going to serve me today, Skylark? Oh, my God, I'm feeling I'm back.
Sierra's like, yeah, you are. So I'm so excited you're back. I can't believe I'm actually saying that to Lindsay, but I am.
She's like, oh, my God, I don't get out often, and I love that you're still rocking this hair. Like, I love your hair.
Do you feel like yourself?
And Sierra's like, thanks. Yeah, no, I love my hair, and I love that your bob is back. Do you feel like yourself?
It's like, yeah. Everyone's like, it's the mom bob, and I'm like, can you just, like, not say that? I feel like it's more like vintage Lindsay, classic Lindsay.
And we see a shot of classic Lindsay. And so they're going to order some drinks because Gemma's at her dad's tonight, and they order some beverages. And Sierra's like, okay, bitch, let's gossip. Okay, what's going on with you first?
Mom life, like literally just like every morning, can't go out at night. She's at the apartment as a priority.
I'm like, Lindsay, don't start. It's a gossip sesh. Why are you turning it on her immediately? All Lindsay has to say is, I'm sorry, Sierra. Like, all Lindsay has to say is like, I'm changing diapers. She's like, I'm dying for you to tell me what's going on at the house. You don't want to hear about what's going on in my life. My life is perfectly fine, but it's not the this is not the gossip sesh. I want to hear about who's fighting at the house.
Yeah. But you know, I don't think that's Lindsay's life. Do you just staying home all the time? I mean, she says,
I'm not saying it still goes out. I'm not saying with any judgment either. Like, I'm not being like, oh, who wants to hear about a mom? I'm just saying like, Lindsay's like, oh my God, I wasn't at the first week. Tell me everything. And Sierra's like, yes, but first let's talk about you. And Lindsay's like, diapers. What do you want to know? Like, tell me what's going on.
I have the same storyline as Kyle. My roommate doesn't talk to me. So that's really fun.
So she talks about Gemma and how proud of herself she is and how proud of the baby she is. And she loves babies. Everything's babies. Oh my God, she loves babies. I just love that Lindsay starts every season or ends every season talking about a relationship that's beginning or ending. I mean, it's every year if you think about it.
Yeah.
I wish we had like a montage of Lindsay's just relationships, because it's always one coming up or one crashing and burning. And so now we're hearing about Turner.
I mean, me and Turner aren't together anymore, but like, I've literally raised so many man babies in my life that I've become good at raising babies.
Really? Because I don't think any of the man babies have turned out to be great.
Yeah, I don't know if they've grown up. I mean, there's Carl, there's Kyle, there's the guy who sat on that crate for a whole season while he worked at his laptop.
Steven, or whatever.
Yeah. So
that's the one who Amanda bought her the art for her birthday, right? And she got all mad. He'd like had art made of her. And she's like,
Strawby. Oh, no, why would I want art made out of myself? This is stupid. I wanted a helicopter.
Yeah, that was Strawby. And of course there was Everett? So Amanda joins them, and Sierra's like, how did I know you'd be wearing those shorts? She's like,
because they literally are just like laying on the floor, so I put them on, and I haven't been drinking with Lindsay in forever. When you come to the house.
So Lindsay's like,
Lindsay's saying next weekend she'll be at the house, but not this coming weekend. And so Lindsay's like,
so, like, any more info on, like, what's happening? Because Kyle actually called me today, and we were talking about other shit, and then he, in typical Kyle fashion, he just started unloading about, oh, just realized I probably shouldn't be saying this part.
I mean, it was like, about me?
Yeah.
Of course Kyle did.
Yeah. So Kyle called to unload to Lindsay, and Lindsay basically went straight to Amanda to tell her everything. And she's like, I thought Amanda would, like, spend more time with me, Lindsay. And
he was like, you know, and then there's, like, five other guys, but they're all single, so we can't really talk to them about shit because they're, like, on a different mission.
And they're all on the same mission, really.
Yeah.
And Amanda says, like, that's funny because that's all he did was talk to them. So I don't know what he means that he can't talk to them. And Lindsay's like, but he feels really alone in that relationship, Amanda.
So she says, that's fair, but there's a reason why he feels that way. And there's a part of me that's, like, really happy that he found his creative outlet of, like, DJing. But there's also another part of me that's pissed off that the two things I've asked him to change about himself for years are the drinking and going out late. And the career he chose was, like, to do two things that I've been asking him to do to change forever. And then on top of that, there's constant rumors. You know, Kyle was in a corner doing this with so-and-so, and Kyle was doing that, and Kyle was so drunk last night. And she goes, and there was this one night when he went out with his brother, it was back in February, and Kyle fell asleep at some fan's apartment and at a house party, came back at like 6:30. It was in February. We'll take responsibility. That happened after, that was the night of the crappies. Kyle came to the crappies with his brother, got drunk at the after party.
That was so fun. He was having such a good time. I feel bad that he got in trouble that night.
I know. I feel bad. I feel bad, but I also feel so proud. I feel so proud that we are somehow. This is like, Kyle is like Erica Kirk and we're Jordan at this moment. You know, like, we have a weird intersection and I could not be more honored.
Yeah. We just need to make sure all of our guests get home. You know, we need to escort people, take them all back home. We should do that. We should, like, hire an auntie van this year and just take all our guests. We'll go party and then we'll just drive everybody home. Make sure they get home. Okay.
I was about to say, we always give Ubers to all of our guests, but I think Kyle's in a different he's in a different kind of place.
Yeah.
He's great at a party.
And Sierra's like, that is fucking insane, Amanda. She's like, yeah, it's been like 10 years. I'm like, I can't be doing this shit forever. Like, he can't be doing it forever. I can't be putting up with it forever. So
no, you can't be, but like also like Kyle, we've been roasting Kyle because Kyle has been really, like, he deserves to be roasted for a lot of this. But also, I mean, it's been 10 years of Kyle acting like this, and it's going to be 10 more years of this. I really think that she thought that once he got married, he was going to just sort of settle down and he wouldn't want to go out and party as much anymore, because that's the natural trajectory of a lot of people, especially when they hit their 40s. But Kyle's just still going strong. And, yeah, I don't know. I think
Kyle didn't want to do any of that. It was like he had to be talked into every step of that, you know, settling down, getting married, doing that. You know, he wanted an award for finally proposing, you know, so you can't talk somebody into being who you want them to be, you know?
Yeah.
But then what are you going to say? You can't train a man? I mean, then what's the point? What's the point of having one? It's part of the fun is trying to train him, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Is it nature or is it nurture? Let's think.
The point is, Amanda deserves to be with someone who is going to meet her needs. Need someone who is going to be on the same wavelength, someone who wants to have the same timetable as her, or is interested in the same things, as someone who's interested in being not going out and drinking every night. That's ultimately what this comes down to. So she may really love Kyle and love him for who he is, but, like, you know, I think in a relationship, it's sometimes more than that. You got to, like, actually have be compatible lifestyle wise.
Mm-hmm. So now it's Thursday and Bailey is getting ready to host It Girl. That's my girl on the street show, because it's worked for other people on this channel. And I'm going to take
the hint.
So she has an interview blog for fashion girlies. So I guess she pulls some girl off the side of the road and she's like,
you want to be an it girl? Because you're about to be an it girl. Get ready for it. Okay. Yeah, girl. Okay. Just stand there while I get my tripod set up. I just do this all the time. Like, I go up to girls in the street because, like, there's no more, like, fashion blogging in New York. So, like, I'm cornering the market. You know, there's so many cool people in New York. And when you see people on the street and interview them, they don't ask what they do. They just say, like, how's the fit? You know, I want to know about you. Like, why are you wearing that outfit? What inspired you? Where are you going to work today? What are you having for lunch today? What do you think of bagels? Are they back?
The girl's like, when are we going to talk about CPUs and motherboards?
No, it's it girl, not IT girl.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like, I'm like, that's the editor-in-chief of Nylon. Like, why aren't they, like, giving her a moment to talk about trends and fashion, bagels? Why don't they have perspective, you know? So I was like, I'm bringing back fashion TV. I'm going to bring it back single-handedly.
Thank you for finally scratching under the surface of the editor-in-chief of Nylon magazine. So we see her. She's interviewing the girl named Taylor, who owns her own consultancy business. And Bailey goes on and says, I started this when I was still with my boyfriend, and he despised it that it was becoming successful. And he was like, this is not successful. Stop saying that. Who do you think you are? A sweet green salad? Get out of my face. And I'm like, well, our rent is paid. Our bills are paid. You just ate a nice salad. We just went on vacation to the Sweet Green headquarters, and I paid for it successfully. I got to talk to Diane von Furstenberg, and guess what? She liked the sweet green salad I got for her. So I don't know. That's just someone I never thought I'd be in the same room with, let alone enjoying a salmon salad, the most premium of them all.
You do not know what life is like until Diane von Furstenberg asks you for a side of salad dressing. It was huge.
By the way, if you're going to order from Sweet Green, you always need to get that extra salad dressing because they give you a thimble. And I'm like, this is supposed to cover your whole expensive ass salad. Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah.
Well, to me, like, I'm from Seattle, and when there's no fashion in Seattle, and I'm, like, doing everything I want to do, and you're not going to stop me. Seattle, fashionless Seattle.
Poor Seattle. It's like, what the hell?
Get out of my face, Fraser Crane. I'm going to the land of fashion.
New York. So then...
Every time I would try to order a decent dress, they just tell me to get a toss salad and some scrambled eggs. I'm sick of it. I'm here, New York. I'm here.
So over in Brooklyn, Carl is watering plants.
Oh, Carl, stop trying to be Ben.
I know. Oh, no, I'm like a bachelor in paradise. Oh.
So Kyle comes over. He's like, hey, stop at the coffee store. And I should have asked you if you wanted something. Anyway, should we sit down on these sofas? You're going to break up with me? Just kidding. Just a callback to last time we were in this living room. Anyway, it's like, yeah, you still like it here? Yeah, I love you living here. Give me a new lease on living in New York. I say that mainly because I just signed a new lease on living in New York.
It's a new lease on life. Well, for life. I had to spend all of the money I've ever made in my life for this lease, actually. So this is the same apartment, right? Or is this a different apartment? So he's just kept that same apartment that was like $8 billion?
No. This was his new apartment. Wait, No. But this is his Brooklyn apartment, but that wasn't their shared apartment, was it?
I can't remember. He's in Brooklyn. Okay. I'm sorry. I missed all that part.
But then the thing is this, though, that like when they broke up, why did he have his own apartment at that point? So I think it is their apartment. I don't know if this was a Brooklyn apartment.
Oh, I thought they had. It looks like the apartment he had with Lindsay, but I don't know.
It definitely was the same apartment where they broke up. But was that in Brooklyn? I just can't remember.
No, that wasn't in Brooklyn. No. It was like $13,000 a month. Remember, everybody was like, that's crazy. And he was like, how am I supposed to afford this apartment alone? That's crazy. And Lindsay just moved out.
She's like, whatever. Good luck.
So I don't know. I guess he got some good investors for the maybe. Soft bar.
So Carl is saying, well, after the breakup, there was like a month where I was like, maybe considering moving to Charleston. I don't know, for unknown reasons that may have had to do with they needed more men on that show. I don't know. And Kyle's like, yeah, you also said Pittsburgh too. He's like, yeah, well, we don't talk about that on camera. That's not as sexy as Charleston.
That was never a consideration. I was, there are not TV cameras there.
Oh, he's like, okay, well, I just came here because I need to get my side out, without being interrupted by people calling me out on my bullshit. So, you know, I feel really embarrassed by my behavior, and I've learned a new word this week, which is anxiety. I've got anxiety. So, hope everybody's really feeling for me out there. But, I feel like ashamed to talk about Amanda and our relationship because I don't know those people. You know, I just want to be like responsible, respectful as a husband, and I feel bad. Or as we're used to hearing it on this channel, I feel bad. Like, I'm not looking up to make excuses, you know, but like, it's time for me going to the weekend, realizing like how much pressure I'm under with Loverboy. Cause I know I'm busy, you know, it's just like when I'm catching up with you, I'm catching up with friends. Like, I can't unload and be like, oh, wow, to save my business, I just put $500,000 into it. It's like, oh, ow, oh, God, oh, that's a lot, man. That could have definitely moved me to Charleston. Just saying. Help me.
Wait, are you saying that your business doesn't have a good guy clause? Like, what's going on here? Oh. And by the way, I think 100%, Kyle, you could say this, that I think everyone would be very supportive of Kyle if he led with the fact that this business that's been his baby is faltering. But either way, Carl's like, well, that's a lot, man. $500,000. That's a lot of bagels. By the way, bagels. Oh, they're on the counter. I forgot to mention Kyle. He's like, yeah, well, I stopped paying myself a salary at Loverboy. So that's one of the many reasons why I started DJing, which, as we all know, is the only viable job you can have outside of hawking Loverboy. So I've been doing that to pay the bills. But that's what I've been up to the past couple of months. I'm just sad, man.
Yeah. So basically, he is saying he stopped paying himself a salary at Loverboy because they didn't have the money. And so he started DJing to pay the bills. So the only reason he's DJing is not only to save Loverboy, because when he goes out to DJ, he sells Loverboy. That's part of the thing. Like, he probably brings crates of this shit, sells it, does his DJ thing. So he's selling Loverboy. He's also getting a salary. And that's the reason that he's... No, Kyle, you're basically paying $500,000 as an excuse to go out and party and get shit-faced instead of taking that $500,000 and using it to invest in a business that's actually working, like, or that actually has the chance to work.
Yeah.
I mean, how much...
He really just needs to sell his company at this point, I think.
Yeah, I'm not really a businessman, so I don't know. And I would imagine a lot of money's gone into it. But when you've already put this much into it, like putting another $500,000 and then being like, well, have to DJ. It's like, oh, no. But you're paying yourself the salary, but then you're going to have to pay back that $500,000. So you're still not making money. You're just going into more debt so you could be drunk every day.
I also have to imagine there's a world in which Kyle could DJ and follow his creative outlet and in a way that Amanda would feel supported. She even said last week, you know, about how she talked to someone whose husband is a DJ and like he DJs, but then he makes sure like when he's done and he goes home. And so like, I know Kyle's going traveling around the country, but like do his set, then like go home. But he's like clearly partying. That's the thing. It's like he DJs and probably Amanda doesn't hear from him the rest of the night because he's off drinking or whatever. And it's just like, it's probably just infuriating for her. So, yeah, he's saying that now he's getting paid to do the thing that he loves, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, like, you know, when he makes an effort with Amanda, he doesn't feel like it's reciprocated. And she says, she just gave me, like, the cold shoulder at any given moment. I mean, like, that stuff takes a toll on me. And Carl's like, oh, well, I feel bad, man. I mean, it doesn't seem like you guys aren't able to, like, really get on the same page sometimes. Call back to our old housemate, Paige. Remember her? Should I go to Charleston? I don't know. Anyway, I know it's frustrating for you, but... Also, I don't want to have happen to you what happened to me and Lindsay, which is that you getting terrorized by a savage woman who's out of control.
Everything can just get so intense when things are not aligned. I'm just trying to think of ways to support you. So please keep on logging. He's like, no, we're on the brink of collapse. It's not like we're on the brink of collapse. You know, I adore her. I love her. I can't even imagine my life without her. You know, like who would hoard? But, you know, I think what's messing with my head is like the way she talks about the status quo is like she pushes a lot of responsibility of our issues onto me. Kyle, oh, my God, I can't. You just don't like each other. Just please break up. Just break up with each other. You just don't like each other.
But I like how he says, I mean, it's always like, oh, look at Kyle. He's just drunk and DJing and traveling. I was like, well, those are not nothing. That's like.
Like, that's a pretty big deal. And he, but then he says, and then it's like, just gets reduced down to like something that's like not recognizable to what's actually going on. But I'm not going to sit here and correct her. Basically implying like, actually, you're doing stuff too, but I'm not airing it out. Although he is kind of airing it out. But I don't know.
It's just more of like a passive aggressive way. And she's like more of an aggressive way.
Yeah.
You guys just hate each other. Just please cut it off. So now we go to Friday, July 11th. And I love this show, the dates.
July 11th.
Kyle and Jesse and KJ are driving back to the Hamptons, talking about how excited they are. And KJ is fitting in great. He's loving it. And West is like, well, I will say there was a point last weekend where I was like, bro, we've got a squad of guys, dude.
Yeah, man. We got like just what this show needs, more guys. And West, and then Jesse's like, yeah, we're like just five single dudes, you know? Yeah, but even Kyle counts. Yeah, he goes harder than all of us. And then Amanda and Carl, everyone's arriving, and there's new patio furniture. And because last week we didn't see the new furniture because there was like a carnival setup. And Amanda tells us, there was no conversation about what happened last weekend, and there was no acknowledgement, and there was like, no, like, you want to talk about it. And I'm not doing shit. And Kyle is so eloquently told everyone. So she basically says there's been no conversation. So like, whatever, if he wants to talk about it, he can talk about it. But of course, they're burying it under the rug again, as usual.
They'll just get it out in these passive aggressive ways, which are more fun for us. Kyle goes, yeah, I assume this is proper outdoor furniture. She goes, Kyle, I haven't checked the labels.
So Amanda gets a text that Sierra is still half an hour away. Mm-hmm. And Ben goes, oh, you're going to be okay. That's like a joke. But she's like, no. So Bailey goes,
hey, but you have us. Who are you again? The girl who interviewed Diane von Furstenberg and got a salad, threw a salad across the sweet green when she got dumped. Remember me, Bailey.
You may not know who I am, but I'll bet you know everything you need to know about the odor of nylon now. So that was me. That was me.
I know, but you guys, like,
she's like, you have us. And she's like, well, I know, but you guys have each other. And now I'm all alone. Carl's like, Amanda, you have me. You forgot last weekend, but you know, you have me. I'm your husband.
And Bailey's like, yeah, you two friends, you have two friends and a husband. She's like, right, yes, two friends and a husband, right, yes, I'll just smile that one off.
So then, now the boys arrive and they're like, oh my god, furniture, wow. And then West is modeling his crazy outfit. He's wearing like pants from the 20s that are really big and not fluffy, what am I trying to say, like baggy, well, but tailored. And
it's in right now.
Yeah. Someone's like, whoa, bro, you just went from like noon to six.
Yeah, man. Ha. And then Sierra and her friend Mia arrive. And Mia is like, I don't know if we've ever seen Mia before. She looks so familiar. I don't know if she popped up.
I feel like we have. I don't know why. Yeah. I feel like we have seen her.
Yeah, but they didn't show any footage of her, which they would normally do. So they arrive and Sierra tells us that Mia is my dear bubbly friend. She works in real estate here in New York, and she also helped me find an apartment, basically put me in her building. And Mia's like, I'm a realtor, but I worked at the Box for a long time. It's like a sex club. And I quit after this girl named Lexi came in with her entire family. And I thought, this is just too weird for me. I'm going into real estate.
It's like, yeah, like if you met me 10 years ago, I was so shy. And then I started working at The Box, which we've heard a lot about from Next Gen NYC, because that's their place. Oh, yeah. My God. We were at The Box. We were at The Box, the other day, and they ran up a $10,000 bill at The Box.
The Box. So she said she started working at The Box. And normally when people say you can't put me in a box, but in this case, she was put in a box. And
you can't put baby in a box, but you can put her on top of one and hand her dollar bills. And that's, she will, right, pop ping pong balls out. Yeah, I think Next Gen NYC must have done really well because they mentioned The Box a lot and they got a skateboarder. So
yeah,
it's that's a trend. Actually,
you're not wrong. Although actually, if you think about it, this show was shooting when Next Gen New York City was just starting to air.
Stop it.
So that's wild.
So it's just like a directive, real, you think, in the beginning of the year. They're like, we need skateboarders and sex clubs. Get it going.
I think so. It's like, they're like, we need to go young. Everyone wants young people. So Mia says, like, I'm just kind of like, hi, I'm Mia. I'm a kindergartner. And Sierra's kind of like the edgy, cool high school girl. And so then they're picking rooms. And basically Mia takes over Jesse's room.
Yeah, Sierra's just like, take whatever room you want. She says, but aren't some of these rooms taken?
Tell me you're a gorgeous model without telling me you're a gorgeous model. Oh,
yeah. She says, yeah, some of these rooms are taken, but it literally doesn't matter. Just take whoever you want. So she's like, well, this one's nice. She goes, that one's better. So she's like, okay. So she takes Jesse's room and then they go out and they're like, wow, this is my friend Mia. And Jesse, sorry, you don't have a room this week. And he's like, oh, OK, well, all right. Great. Sure. Make it's yourself your house at home. Too. Sorry. Is Mia going to be paying the rent to be living here? Excuse you. What the hell? You know, there's no gay men in that house because I'd be like, get your shit off my bed, man. I'd be real like, estate box me. Lady. Get the fuck out of here. You carry yeah, on real estate.
Toiled around for 3 years. This is I graduated to this room.
I dated Lexi for this room. Get the fuck out of here.
So Sierra and Mia are gonna make dinner for everyone. They're gonna make like a chicken parm dinner, which should be fun. And they're gonna make pasta and everything. And Mia's like, does anyone have any allergies? And Kyle goes, yeah, carbs. Carbs is my pet name for Amanda. And Mia's like, you don't eat carbs? Like, I'm just kidding. Not really.
I only eat carbs when I wasted at 3 a.m. So that's one of my rules. One of my health rules.
And Amanda's like, he's not allergic. He's just psycho. And everybody kind of looks at them awkwardly because she's starting. And yep. Mia's like, so are we going to cook? I don't know. Mia and Sierra decide to go outside instead of cook. And they're talking about going out tonight. And Jesse's like, yeah, my buddy's DJing at Common Ground. I really want to go there. We're going to go see a DJ.
And then Kyle's talking about how he they're talking about how their last night out last weekend and Kyle lost his credit card and West is joking about how fell off a table or something. And
just, he's like, Kyle, yeah, you're going to go back in there and say, like, can I get my forehead skin back off the table? Because I guess Kyle.
And Jesse says that. Yeah. And they're talking about how everyone was drunk. And Amanda goes, so not everyone was as drunk as Kyle, but everyone knew that it was time for him to leave. Wait, was this the night that Bailey and Carl had to walk you to bed, Kyle? You were that fucked up, Kyle?
He's like, no, it was just a long day of drinking and I just wasn't in a good place and I overcompensated. That's it. If you say it seriously, it's not a problem.
Why? You're making really smart decisions, Kyle, one after the other.
Yeah, like if I didn't learn the hard lesson, did you not hear I ate shit on a table and lost my credit card? Wasn't that enough? Yeah. Wasn't that enough, Amanda?
And he's like, yeah, as if I didn't learn the hard lesson.
For the 17th time.
And Jessica, 17 is my favorite number.
She goes, are you not married? I was like, whoa, geez. And she goes, okay, then shut your mouth. Geez, they're just trying to make light of this because you're subjecting everybody to your misery, Amanda, okay? Not everybody needs to sit around and deal with your fucking misery. Jesus, you brought this on yourself. Don't bring it on me.
So now they're mad at each other. And Kyle's like, fucking, hey, how did that spiral so quickly with Amanda? I don't understand what I'm doing wrong. So Ben's like, well, are you upset right now? Are you flirting with me? Maybe. Maybe not. Am I going red? Am I being too flattering? So Kyle's saying, like, yeah, she just fights you all the time, dude. It's like being married to a cactus. What's this mean? Prickly as fuck. You really are a model, huh? Couldn't really follow the through line there. Cactus, prickly.
I thought that was funny, too. He's like, what? I don't get it.
Prickly. She's trying to make a fool of me in front of everybody.
Well, personally, I think cactuses are very nice people. I guess it depends on...
Well, you're saying
how often you talk to them, tell them that you love them. And Ben goes, well, in this situation, what did you say? And he goes,
I didn't say anything. Why about what I do?
So we go out into the kitchen where Sierra and Amanda are there. And Sierra's asking her if she's okay. And she's like, he's being ridiculous. And now Bailey and Levi are talking away from everybody. And Levi's like, yeah, I don't know what they're fighting about. But I sat here and the next thing I know, it's like another argument. Like, is this normal?
Bailey's like, well, my interpretation was when they fight, everyone gets quiet. And then 5 minutes later, somebody starts a new conversation. And I was at that point in my relationship where no one could do anything right because, you know, we were so frustrated with each other all the time that it didn't really matter what he was doing. I was just mad at him. So someone needs to concede here. Otherwise, there's going to be a sweet green salad all over the floor.
So this is not even really a criticism. It's just something I'm picking up about Bailey. I like that Bailey is kind of She always will find a way to turn it back to herself. Conversation. I've noticed that she's
a really good reality star in that way.
Yeah, she's pretty good at that. Like earlier when she's like, yeah, I mean, like, here's how I feel about guys. And Bailey's like, yeah, it's like me and Ben. For this one. Or later when they talk about parents. Yeah, she is. So Amanda and Sierra and Mia, we go back to them. And they're checking with Mia, like, is everyone nice? And Amanda's like, even Kyle? And she's like, yeah, of course, Kyle was nice. And she's like, and Sierra says, just making sure. She goes, why is he typically not nice? She goes, yeah, well, he's nice. He's just not nice to me. Oh, my God, Amanda. Now you're bringing it inside.
Yeah. So KJ and Sierra are talking. And they have this really nice conversation where KJ was asking about her braids. And she's just saying that she had the braids in Italy and it's just easier than wearing her hair out. And she grew up in braids and she started to like slowly started to like come back around to them. She used to not like them at all. And KJ is saying like, that's how sisters are. And she said that her mom wouldn't give her any other choice. And she always thought like her mom was like really crazy. And also like, this is a perimeter of like where you weren't supposed to leave. You can't go in this area. Can't go this area. Like turn your music down if you're in this neighborhood. And she always thought it was crazy. But then she came to realize as she became an adult that this is actually like a means of survival because basically racism is alive and well. And, you know, her mom was actually really just teaching her valuable lessons on how to survive in this world.
Yeah. And he's saying that he's like, yeah, I mean, that's South, you know, Kansas City is Midwest, but then there's certain parts of Missouri that's like South, South. And his grandpa was like that. And he told him as a black man, you have to be really cautious and you have to act a certain way to get by. And so he's always got that in the back of his mind. And so they're talking now about his parents and his mom is about to be 55 and her mom is about to be 64. And it's so weird because she's getting to that age where she starts having to think of having to take care of her mom. And basically they have this talk about their parents. And he says that his dad was a player growing up and was always cheating on the mom and stuff like that. So he doesn't even speak to his, oh wait, was he telling, I don't think he was telling her this. He was saying it later to Bailey, I think. Yeah. But he was saying that his mom was always working so hard and he wants to be able to, you know, take care of her. And now Sierra's crying because she had a rough relationship with her mom. It's sad. It's sad.
They have like
it's
a
nice
real...
that they bond like this. It's also kind of weird seeing it on Summer House.
I know. Yeah. It was like a prolonged scene of two people having a very nice and interesting conversation and connecting in the middle of all the silliness of like, I interviewed Diane Von Furstenberg and got through a salad at someone. And like Kyle, I'm like, Amanda, lover boy. And then they're just having like a really nice conversation and connecting. And he's like, don't apologize for crying. And Sierra's just saying how she's trying to see her mom as just a single mom, a girl who's just trying to figure stuff out and, you know, and all that stuff. So, you know, and KJ is like, yeah, we're going to be better than how our parents were, even though we love our parents, you know, and you seem really resilient. And I could tell from the first day I met you, I was like, this person is strong. So there, I think maybe this is also Bravo's way of trying to sow a little bit of romance between these two, but I don't really see it happening.
Yeah,
they do keep on cutting to West. They kept cutting to West, and West was like sort of staring at them, like, "Why do you get to talk to Sierra and I don't?" You know.
Yeah. So then we go to dinner, and everybody is kind of, you know, just coming to dinner, sitting down. Okay, so everybody sits at dinner, and Kyle's like, "Oi, guy, I wanted to give a cheers to old friends, to making friends. This is what coming out here is all about. I'm not done. I'm not done, everybody." Because they all cheers. And he's like, wait, I'm not done. They're like, okay. He goes, but you can drink, though. But I also wanted to apologize for last weekend. And I was in a bit of a spiral. And first and foremost, and then Sierra's like, is this fucking toast about you?
Really?
And what? Is it okay to adjust the table? Like, oh my God, Kyle, you can just start. Oh, because you love talking over me. I love talking over you. What I was trying to say is, out of respect for my marriage and my wife, I apologize for kind of airing some dirty laundry and letting some of my emotions get the best of me. And it's important to me that everyone has a good time. I'm sorry. I can't do this anymore. You're looking at me. I'm just like thrown off because I was going to have a special moment. And
his man was looking at him like this. She's like, mm-hmm. Like she's giving him the business across the table. Because she's mortified. And he's like, why are you looking at me? You know, like, I just can't get a word in without people laughing at me and looking at me. Man. And she's like, well, I mean, it's fine. But, like, I feel this apology should have even been given to me directly. He's like, well, I said it on Sunday. Well, it doesn't need to be given to the whole table. Neither does this, Amanda. Oh, my God, you're just as bad at this point. Just stop. Can they have one fucking moment that's not uncomfortable because of you two idiots and your terrible relationship?
Kyle's like, all right, well, I'm going to go fuck myself. So he stands up and his like chair knocks over behind him. It's a classic Summer House move. He's like, maybe someone that just want to speak to everyone because like we're all in a house together and it would be like great if I could have a little respect at times. Sierra. Sierra's like, what the fuck?
Don't do that to Sierra, Kyle. I'm literally just trying to have a heartfelt moment. You're laughing and she was laughing. Okay, well, so was I. We were all laughing at you, Kyle. I'm like, wah.
So he goes in and slams the door and a picture falls off the wall. And the people who own this house are like, okay, we buy them new patio furniture and they kick it over. We put a new painting in. They knock that over. Why do we make any effort? Just go re-break the door.
Yeah, seriously. Oh, well, he storms inside. I mean, and don't forget, it was from one of these tantrums that Giggly Squad was born. So who knows what sort of...
You know, and that's the thing, you know, and that is true. This was brought up again... You know, that's how that was formed. He was like, oh, I got to take it from the Giggly Squad over there. And then they went and made a multi-million-dollar business out of it. And here Kyle is kind of referencing that, you know, in this episode again without even really knowing it when his own business is tanking. And it's like you came up with the best business to ever come out of this show.
Yeah, seriously.
Which is so sad. So sad. You know, just so keep trying. You can do it again. Just do it for yourself this time. Not a podcast, but, you know, something.
Yeah.
I believe.
Well, everyone, that brings us to the end.
I was
going to
say, I believe in
summer.
You. I'll just change it to I believe.
I believe. I believe in bagels. Hey, everyone.
I believe in bagels.
I do.
Yeah.
Tomorrow's Bagel Thursday, guys. I can't wait. I literally can't. I woke up today wanting bagels, probably because of Carl. And I now have to wait another day. Anyway, but for right now, the show is over. It's done. Thanks for listening. And go get your tickets at the Crappies. And we'll catch you on the next episode of Watch What Crappens. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's always automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Aaron McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's not a McBee, she's a McBride. Jess McBride.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
K Sarah Sarah, whatever will be, will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Aren't you glad it's Marianne Arns?
Megan Berg. You can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell. It's Raquel.
Yes, we canna. It's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors...
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Hogle your horses, it's Christine Hogle.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
Let's get savage with Laura Wildman.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron.
She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
Roger that, it's Marlis Rogers.
The incredible, edible Matthews sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Telefson.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
Strike a pose, it's Tori Rose.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.